listening to The Water Cooler on Podcast One.
Water Cooler. Water Cooler. Water Cooler.
Hello and welcome to Water Cooler for July 1st, 2020. At least that's when we record this. Who knows when you listen to it? That's the beauty of podcasting. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. This is a show where I, Chris Loxamana, hang out with my Corolla Digital friends, drink some claws, some buds, some coffee, some C minuses, whatever we can get our hands on. And we kick it Philly style with me today. Kalen Beans here.
What's going on?
Oh, you sound good, Kalen.
Thank you.
Nice and beefy tone there. Yeah. Is Insomniac here? Is Insomniac going to make an appearance in the second half of 2020?
I don't know. How would I know?
We need Insomniac.
More than ever, I would say.
Hey, it's not up to me. It's up to him.
Who is Insomniac in? For the listeners, because some listeners probably started listening in 2020 and have no idea who Insomniac is.
I know. It's entirely possible they start listening in 2019 and have no idea who Insomniac is.
It's also entirely possible that there's an internet archive of every single show. They could, if they really wanted to know, go find out. But by all means, Kalen, tell us.
I mean, who is he really? None of us really know. To be honest.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, enigma's a good word. To shorten up, I'd say rave slash party enthusiast, and that's about all I know about him.
Living the plural life.
Plural life. He
that's
lives
right.
by that code.
Gary Smith's here.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Welcome back. Matt Fondelier.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother. And he just gave the new tagline for the water cooler, where jokes don't die. Mike Dawson's here.
Yeah, pause for the claws.
Yeah, what flavor you got?
I think I got a watermelon flavor.
I've never had the watermelon. Oh, you got the mixed fruit
I don't have my
pack.
Readers on, but there are too many letters for it to be any other fruit.
It's that watermelon.
Says watermelon.
It's watermelon, and I'll jump out with a hot take. Watermelon, absolutely awful. Tastes like the worst part of a watermelon. Tastes like the rind.
I think watermelon flavor in general is never very good, aside from Jolly Rancher.
Jolly Rancher.
Aside from Jolly Rancher, I'm never satisfied with a watermelon flavor.
I can buy that, but I'm not drinking these for the flavor.
I agree. Listen, I'm not saying I would turn down a watermelon White Claw if that was all that was around, but I was excited when I saw that new flavor, and when I tasted it, that is the worst part of the watermelon taste.
Well, here's the kind of guy I am. Since I know you guys don't like the watermelons, I'll keep going for them.
All right.
What a nice guy.
Listen, I'll have my readers on.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Is there another flavor that has this many letters on it?
I've got tangerine, which is pretty lettery.
Yeah, I could get it fucked up with tangerine.
But yeah, the colors, you're not colorblind, are you?
No, I can see. It looks like a watermelon. I can see the shape of the word watermelon. Yeah. I'm not that blind.
Hey, is it more valuable with a longer name? It should be. More ink used?
We're talking about split seconds.
I don't know.
It's done.
But that big of a scale.
You're not saving that much,
I always wonder why my t-shirts cost the same as a triple XL.
Yeah, well, triple XLs, once you get above XL, they tend to throw another dollar.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. But hey, guys, we've officially, we've gone past the turn. We're on the back nine of 2020. I'm going to go out on a limb. Front nine, not my favorite.
No.
Hot take.
Really? That's
not
a very
my
hot take.
Favorite, huh? Really not my favorite first half of a year.
Yeah. Some people enjoyed it.
Some people did.
Like the devil.
I'm just glad I took my shoes off early.
There you go. You enjoying that lawn while meteors rain down upon the course.
Yeah, is this the point now where we just don't care and we're just going to swing and just get drunk? And
oh, yeah. We loaded up with beers at the turn.
Yeah.
It's on.
Look at us. We're talking golf. I feel like I'm golfing right now because that's how I usually play the two times I have played. After about halfway through, I go, all right, well, there's no way I'm actually going to compete, and there's no way that, it'll even matter what happens, so I'm just going to get drunk and just swing and
fucking drive that golf cart into
the
ground,
see how far.
Like any back nine.
Yeah. The only mistake you made there was waiting for the back nine.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, I always think I have a little bit of a chance. After I make first contact, I think. I always think my game is going to be a Disney movie. He's never played before. Well, let's see how good he could look at his unconventional stance, his unconventional swing. But by God, that is a great drive. How does he do that? And then all of a sudden, I'm just a crazy prodigy.
One montage later.
I enter a tournament. Of course, I mess up the first one. Probably because I don't really understand the rules of the game. Maybe my putting's a little off. Something's going on.
It was the man.
It was the man.
It was the man. It was some old country club rule.
Yeah.
That said that your hair was
to
too long.
Too close to your shirt collar.
But that makes me rock and roll, and it kind of makes me exciting.
Damn, hippie.
And they don't like you because you play the bar next door.
I do.
Like you're a servant to them.
Yeah.
You play the country club bar, and now you're trying to get on the PGA Tour. F you, bro.
I see the game every once in a while from the stage. I look outside because I play
longingly.
At noon. I play my shows at noon.
A lot of brunch time.
He plays brunch. Yeah,
a lot of brunch shows, of course. Everyone's drinking their mimosas. I'm just watching the men swing away at the on the course. I'm thinking I could do that. That doesn't look that hard. And then there's a foursome, but one of them gets sick and they need another guy. Does anybody here know how to play golf? Just ask that guy. It's kind of like white men can't jump, but I really wasn't prepared.
But it's a joke. There's a group of 1980s typical bullies. Yeah. And they're the same guys who would throw the Eggs Benedict at you from the buffet.
Are there golf jocks here?
While you're on stage and they'd never get in trouble. You know, you'd be wiping hollandaise sauce off your amp when you go home, and you're like, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah.
And then they do it as a joke. They're like, he plays golf, put him in. He's going to suck, dude. We'll fuck with him.
And then
you kill it.
And then they see me just make that. Wow, look at that drive.
Yeah.
Is he actually pretty good? Yeah. And then my band gets kind of mad at me because I'm paying more attention to golf now.
Yeah, you missed a rehearsal.
I missed a rehearsal.
First you named the band after yourself. Now this.
Yeah. We can't be Loxy without you.
And then the worst part. Twist your wrist at the driving range. Critically injure both your golf game and your guitar playing. You realize you've taken it too far.
Yeah.
But the twist, the Shyamalan twist, is you sprained your wrist cranking one out at the driving range.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it's like
this
you're
is not
just
a
wrist
Disney
in the driving
movie.
Range. So, I heard
wait.
The driving range.
But then you have to
and
move to the other hand.
Wasn't it
and
cracking?
That's where you learn that you're actually.
I think it was cracking
really
one out.
Isn't that what I said?
You said cranking.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was cracking.
Cracking.
It's gone
my bad.
I think it works both ways. Yeah, they're interchangeable.
I was trying to do what you said.
Yeah.
I'll crack one out in the shower.
But then Kalen says, I discovered
that
I'm left-handed.
Exactly. And then your guitar playing and your golf game
both
get
improve.
Exponentially
I
better.
Swing left-handed. I turn the guitar great. Upside down, and everything just works out perfectly.
Oh, I got the closing scene, dude.
Learns how to masturbate with his feet.
Fuck yeah. Your putter breaks.
Oh, no.
At the end. But then this little kid who's seen you play and knows you're a real rock and roller.
Mm-hmm.
From the edge of the green, you see this little kid come up. With your guitar.
Yeah.
And he goes, use this, Chris. And you putt that last putt with your guitar. You sink it for the win. And then you fucking jam.
Oh, wow. With a guitar?
Yeah.
It was plugged in?
Right there. and then that's when the party, it turns into one of those Caddyshack party scenes.
Oh, yeah. Of course it ends with a big party.
Yeah, and there's totally a choreographed dance scene on the 18th hole. It's awesome. We get a couple marching bands in there.
This is great.
You know, a lot of timpani.
Well, as anyone who's seen, you know, Caddyshack knows, Rodney Dangerfield's golf bag just has an amp built into it. So you just plug into that there.
Oh, that's right.
Perfect.
We could get that Mr. Radio thing.
We
get two of them.
Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone.
Yes.
We get two of them, so it's in stereo.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Because that's how it works.
Because that's how
that, just like the commercial.
Worked.
Yes.
I got a working title, Laxy Shack.
Yes!
Nice.
Wow. I'm impressed by us.
That was good.
That's the Laxy Shack, not to be confused with the other place that Gary calls my studio. Laxy Shack sounds like a place. That's
Laxy Shack, the quest for Gapar.
You know,
oh, no.
I just thought
guitar,
of this.
Yeah,
I got it.
It didn't really work.
Gapar.
You're not all going to be home runs,
Gapar,
guys.
Gapar.
Every now and then you're going to ground out. What do you want from me?
That just sounds too much like Jafar. And it's like a guy's name. So is Gapar maybe a character?
That's the name of the caddy who helps you.
Gapar. Oh, Gapar.
I'm telling you, this is a brilliant C movie, and we should fucking make it. And
that just means Chris movie, right?
A la Jack Black. It's great coming up with cool ideas. As ridiculous as they are, on a podcast because you're recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's there.
It's true. It's there for all of forever.
Who wants to make this movie?
I would like to make this movie, and to show my generosity, I would like you all to have roles in it.
Thank you.
Nice. As well. So think about your parts. Let me get back to me, and I shall prove them.
I want the Bill Murray part. I'm the fucking drunk dude who works at the course, who's constantly messing it up.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's funny because I was thinking I wanted to be Bill Cosby before you said Bill Murray.
Sure. Interesting.
All you have to be Bills.
I want to be the get me out of here lady from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, okay. The one who, when he's driving into the home.
Yeah, just jumps on the hood. Mista. Get me out of here.
And Kalen, who would you like to be in Laxy Shack?
I'm good with anything, whatever.
I'm gonna be.
Kalen's got to be the Ben Stiller character from Happy Gilmore.
I'm just gonna be the random Hell's Angel.
A random
Hell's Angel.
Okay,
that's good.
Seems to be around. And then at the end of the movie, I'll
he's always at the 18th hole. We don't know why.
Yeah. At the end of the movie, I'll just give you a thumbs up and a smile. I go, good on you, kid.
And that's how I know everything is okay.
And then I'll ride off on a motorcycle.
At one point, you could be driving down the street, and early on in his game, when he whips the ball far right into the road, just clonks you right on the head and you fall off.
The kids love
you
that
think
comedy.
He's going to hate you, but then by the end, he's proud of you.
No, it's just
and then
like,
I could just be haunting you the whole time, like I'm going to kick your ass.
Yes. Right.
So you've got that added
so you're the
fear.
Ghost spirit of the biker who used to hang out at the golf course.
No, I'm still alive.
You killed a biker.
I killed a biker.
100% alive. 100% alive.
Are you sure?
Not a ghost.
Or are you?
It's not that a ghost or not.
Look,
this is a Shyamalan movie.
We want to make a real movie, though. I mean, this is a real movie. This could really happen. You know, it wouldn't happen if I was a ghost.
That's exactly what a ghost would say. I don't know. I think a guy who doesn't know he's a ghost.
It's a ghost who's constantly trying to talk people out of the fact that he's a ghost.
Laxy Shack is really about the Hell's Angel.
I'll tell you how it works. You think I'm a Hell's Angel dude because I'm wearing the vest all the time. But at the end of the movie, it pans in closer and it says Heaven's Angels.
Oh, you've been Heaven's Angels.
And then I slowly disappear. And then you realize, oh shit, Shyamalan. He got killed by
that
golf ball.
Chris, that's a direct line from one of the guys.
So earlier when you said that you had watermelon flavor White Claw, I think you meant peyote flavor.
I'm sorry. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. I slept maybe 5 hours last night. I'm closely approaching that 4 a.m. and everything's funny. But I'm telling you, maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe.
I'm insane. But I would think that our 30,000 listeners would want this movie made.
Sure.
Laxy Shack.
That's enough. Yeah.
You really think only a third of our listeners want this movie made?
A third of our listeners under 20?
I was going for a fifth. I was being kind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I agree, and that should be made. So, and I can see Pixel Fun already. His brain is exploding.
We'll use that as the storyboard. We'll use that as the storyboard to sell the movie. That's the pitch deck right there.
Yeah. I'm invested in every character already. Yeah. And, of course, Shyamalan has a guest role because that's his signature. That's his directorial signature, right? He's always a character somewhere in it too. Maybe he's the bass player in my band.
There you go.
Yeah, so
he always has to play like a slightly more critical role than you would ever expect a director cameo to do. That's what always bothered me about his cameo so much. It wasn't just that he put himself in the movie. It's that he put himself in as the critical character.
Someone that mattered.
Multiple times.
In Signs?
Yeah, that's one of the main ones for sure.
Yeah.
And there's that stupid Lady in the Water one with Paul Giamatti or whatever.
I'm glad you brought that up.
He plays the writer who knows all the rules and will help save us all. Like, he literally plays a weird version of himself.
Lady in the Water was like the second or third fake movie trailer I did for the show when it was on the radio. And the clips I used was all Paul Giamatti said. Who are you? What's going on? And I'm like, damn. And all I just kept saying was, Lady in the Water. What's this movie about? Who are you? We want to know the same thing. Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water came out in, I think, 2006.
It's pretty specific to think that. You know that.
Well, I think I do know that. I do know that because
I joined the radio
recall,
show in 2006 and I started doing fake movie trailers 2 months in.
Yeah, it did come out in 2006 because I watched it on that bus road trip that I went on with my friends. Backtrack a little bit, 16 of my friends. We all pitched in about school buses around the country. And we all went for a movie night to watch Lady in the Water. And we all walked out of there thinking, that movie ruled.
Really?
And I think I cried a little bit. Wow. Paul Giamatti was awesome. And then everybody else outside of this bus of 16 guys, for the rest of my life, that was really when Shyamalan lost it. He lost his mind.
Like, that's so funny.
That was not the movie to enjoy. And I remember walking out of there thinking, that was great. John Leguizamo's arm was all big, and Paul Giamatti's just such a great actor. And it was very heady, very dramatic.
Have you since watched it?
No. I don't want to ruin it for myself because I actually had a great experience.
So that had to have been around the time that Shyamalan did like the very uncomfortable, weird cameo in Entourage too, right?
Probably right around that same time. That would maybe a couple years after that. That would have also been maybe around like 2006 or 2007. I guess that could be right.
Had to have been right around then.
Now, I love that you guys all love movies because M. Night Shyamalan. I wonder, do we write him off, or are we still on board?
Well, I think we did write him off until James McAvoy.
Split
came out, yeah.
Was his comeback, though. Was pretty cool.
He didn't direct
cool.
that, though. He probably
didn't.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, Split was great. So I think that brought him back into the fold.
So you would not call him a Shyamalan Lama Ding Dong?
I actually remember what the Shyamalan.
For the delivery of that one.
I was totally wrong. I essentially lied to you guys. The trailer that I did for Shyamalan was that I couldn't pronounce his name. And so it just kept on going. The new movie from M. Night Lady in the Water, a film by Quentin Tarantino.
Nice.
That was what we did.
You have a good trailer voice, man.
I don't know, man.
Nice. I do. It's good.
Yeah.
It's
very rumbles.
Good.
It felt good. I think you're right. M. Night was on top of the world. We lost him around Lady in the Water, definitely in The Happening.
Oh, yeah.
And then Split, I think he managed to get himself propped up onto the lifeboat, but he's not fully on board yet. I think he's still kind of hanging off, and we're wondering if he's excess weight and we got to get rid of him, or is he coming back?
He currently has a show on Apple TV, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen it yet, but...
Yes, he does. You're right. And it looks super creepy. And look, I agree with you that his popularity took a huge hit, but he's never stopped making, big budget studio films. Mm-hmm. He has somehow found a way to stay relevant in Hollywood, even if not with the audience, for 25 years now.
Yeah. There's another movie he did right before Split called The Visit. That was kind of like a found footage one. That
I like
actually
that
pretty
one.
Good, too. Yeah.
That was good. I saw that in theaters.
Put that on your horror list.
Yeah, scary.
It's
I'm on a horror
it's
kick
more,
right
more
now.
Psychological.
It's
creepy.
Okay. It's not scary.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my experience watching The Happening.
There are a couple moments you like, or reading. You might have to do the move on a couple moments.
Okay. The move. I watched The Happening. I forget what year that came out, but I had a bad experience because when you make plans with friends.
No, I don't remember doing.
Remember back in the day? I think it was like pre-2020. You would make plans with friends.
Pre-Gary J, pre-GJ.
And I was with a couple of my buddies.
Pre-Nephew Patch.
Yeah, that's right. I was with a couple of my buddies.
Uncle Patch, Nephew Patch, pre-kid.
No, pre-COVID.
pre-COVID.
Was my
pre-2020 is pre-COVID.
Well, we still haven't seen you since
COVID?
You named your kid COVID.
Listen, what I name my kids is none of your business.
I'm
ahead of my time.
Someone out there named their kid COVID, and now they're really embarrassed.
Yeah, they're bummed.
Somebody actually did do that after COVID was a thing.
Really?
Yeah, that was a news story in April.
Which is wrong. Sorry, Chris, you were saying?
A couple of my good friends, Jake and Jason are their first names. And
sounds fake to me.
No, they're totally, they're very real.
But, I mean, they're so close together. Would he make it up like that? If he was going to make it up, it'd be
true.
Like Frederick and Charles.
All right, go ahead.
Jake and Jason.
I'm aware of doing that when I make up names that I should differentiate. But these two names are that similar. That's why I kept them. That's how you know they're real. But
Chris.
Jake and Jason, we go back. We're thick as thieves, us three. And I know them very well and have tons of stories on them. But we plan to watch a movie. The Happening. When we saw the trailer, thinking Mark Wahlberg, mysterious happenings. Yeah, that's part of the
show. Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, that's right. She's in that.
Wow.
Blocked that movie from my mind.
And all this craziness. And the trailer was very good. And we all made plans to watch it. They watched it without me. And you, for some reason, when people watch movies without you after you've already planned on watching it with them,
like, was this in the theater or after it
in theaters?
So they went to the theater.
They went to the theater and they saw it. I think I'd work.
Were they part of your lady in the water screen that you guys all broed out over?
No, they were
double cold.
Oh, that is that's ice ice cold.
Smirnoff ice cold.
Yeah. So I remember being really upset. I remember
Smirnoff ice cold
is
fucking Andre 3000, bro. Good job,
thank you.
It's 3,000 points for you,
and it's stung. It stung. I'll be honest.
Then you had to go by yourself to the theater.
So I had to wrestle. Do I go by myself? And I did, and I watched it at the Irvine Spectrum. Gary knows where that is.
Sure do.
I also do.
Yeah.
Pretty sure same.
For a long time.
We've all done shows. Sure. We all know where it is.
Just Gary, okay? We all know where it is, Chris.
About,
God.
No, but I probably just about Gary knows where
25
that is.
Shows there?
No, but to Chris's point, I used to live down there back when that was the biggest movie theater in the world for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it, Gary. You've been there more than us. Okay. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Now, Chris is just he's still in producer mode. He's still not completely out of the Adam Carolla Show world.
Sure.
And on his mind earlier today, Adam called Gary the King of Orange County.
That's right. That is why.
Ambassador, I believe he said, but nonetheless.
And I remember,
maybe he said chief.
Okay, maybe.
Chief of Orange County.
I'm certainly not the king.
And I watched the movie, and I hated it. And my friends Jake and Jason, they were like, don't watch it. Don't go. We're really sorry we saw it without you, but it's awful. Do not waste your money. Don't do it.
Now, did you think they were lying to make it to save your feelings?
I did. The trailer was too damn good for The Happening. Mark Wahlberg? Come on.
Yeah.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Brooding Mark Wahlberg.
Wasn't John Leguizamo in that one?
He was, yeah. Him and
he's
M. Night
also in Lady in the Water?
Yeah, he is what like Leo is to Scorsese. I guess.
See. That's his guy. You thought it was Bruce Willis, but it's actually guy. John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, regardless, I think he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah,
I'm
great too.
Very happy in whatever he's in.
Luigi, are you kidding me?
Nice guy,
yeah,
too.
Spawn, he's in Spawn.
It seems like he'd be a nice guy.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
He's been in here.
Yeah. Anyway, so I remember watching it and thinking, this is truly awful. This is a bad movie. And I was so bummed. And I go up the escalator. Gary knows what those are. And I get on my cell phone. And I called Jake and probably Jason, too. I don't know if we three-way dialed or whatever. But and I go, I loved it. That movie was awesome. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It was great.
Wow.
Just to really dig in the shank. Because, yeah, I was so bitter that they saw it without me, but that was my experience watching The Happening. I've not seen it since. I remember it sucking really badly, but I will always say that it was good in front of them.
I'd suggest the next time something like that happens, you adjust your strategy because you let them hurt your feelings and then you lowered their opinion of you at the end of this by you telling them the movie they knew was horseshit was good in your mind.
That's true. You hung up
you
that call.
It was good?
Yeah, you hung up the call being like, showed them, and they hung up the call like, well, we're not taking that guy to a fucking movie anymore. Terrible
taste
in movies.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never invited him again.
Yeah, I closed my flip phone. I thought I got him.
Yeah.
Thought I got him.
Exactly.
But since they're made up people, this really didn't
happen. That's also this never actually happened.
Let me tell you another Jake and Jason story. June 2003. It's the summer before senior year. Stephanie, my first girlfriend in life.
All right, again.
Now we know he's
girlfriend. Come on. I mean, no offense, Jenny, but
my first break. She breaks up with me. I'm a mess.
We've seen pictures of your haircut.
I cut my own hair. I'm crying. I'm a mess. Jake calls me. Hey, is the girl he's dating, Natalie. I shouldn't be using real names, but I can't think of any fake names right now. He calls me. Hey, it's Jason's birthday tonight. Natalie's grounded. Let's have a boys' night. Let's go out. Let's go to the Long Beach Town Center. Gary knows where that is. And because that's where we used to hang out back then, because we were too young to go to bars or anything. So we just hang out in the center with the movie theater, right? Sure. Caitlin did that.
Yeah.
The Sherman Oaks Gallery. Yeah.
Gary knows where that is.
Yeah, Gary knows where that is.
I do.
And so I agree, but I'm really dragging my feet. My heart is broken. Everybody remembers their first loss of love. Come on, it really, really stings deep. And so we're in Jake's Acura Integra driving over to the town center. I'm crying. We get out. I'm a mess. We're walking in the parking lot. We get up to the movie theater, and Jake sees Natalie, the girl he thought he's dating, who's grounded, with another guy.
Ooh.
And now he's losing his mind. They're supposed to, and so they went. We went out to take Jason out for his birthday for me to be comforted. Now Jake's losing his mind. We go back into Jake's car. We drive off. He pulls it over in a park, and now he's just throwing shit. He's throwing stuff at the park. He's so mad. He's kicking like playground equipment. He's so heartbroken. I'm crying in the backseat of the car, and Jason's just thinking, "This is the worst birthday ever."
Were you guys like 15?
No, we were 17. I guess.
Why were you crying again?
I just had my heart broken by Stephanie. Broke up with me for no reason. I was a great boyfriend. I was thoughtful. I did magic tricks for her that soon became a bit on Parks and Recreation.
She started dating one of the dudes in that.
No reason. Yeah. And he shortly thereafter follows it up with, "I did magic for her."
I did. What do you mean no reason? Anyway. Jake and Jason.
So the three of you went out and saw Unbreakable together.
Hey, we really haven't. We need a little female perspective, but ladies, if a dude does a magic trick for you,
let's get a little
to ask you to prom, and you're 17.
Winter formal. Two of hearts.
How many of you at 17 years old, is that going to embarrass you enough or make you think enough? Are you going to break up with him? I really want to know, because I'm going to say it's like split 50-50.
Because
that's just playing with fire. Right. You rolled the bones,
all right, let's talk to the ladies. We'll put out a call for him. But I want you to keep this in mind as well. It's me doing it.
Well, there you go.
So I did it. She pulls the two of hearts, asks her,
but
asks
if
her
we
to the dance.
If we put you into the question,
and it's not a public
no one's
thing.
Gonna say they would break up with you. That's polluting it too much. It's just gotta be
that is true, because then nobody will believe the breakup part.
Or we could say it's 17 year old you. Yeah
he was still great.
He's
still a good dude. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm curious as to what happened with Jake or Jason's
You want him to make up more shit?
Jason's girlfriend.
Oh, Jake and Jason, they're funny. All right. Well, anyway, let's continue with the show. I'll sprinkle more Jake and Jason stories as the show, you know, as the series progresses.
New segment.
Jake and Jason.
By the way, we've got to be at 37 minutes. Did this all evolve on my bad golf pun about 2020?
I think that may have been where this all started.
All right, let's get the show started. Look at my notes here.
Welcome to Water Cooler.
All right. We do have a Shay, which I'm very excited about. And it's not – we're taking a step away from figuring out what best food is, because obviously this is that's a very –
the
very,
almost starving semicircle.
The almost –
practically starving semicircle.
The PSS.
PSSA. PSSSC.
Semicircle is one word, isn't it?
Yes. Chris, I got to be honest. I'm glad I'm glad you're excited about this, Shay, because I am not. I
what else is new?
Yeah, I know. No, nothing's different.
But for a different reason than usual. I appreciate the fact that Matt pulled a Nostradamus-type prediction and was able to get some fun in there. But as we record this, our governor just shut down most of the state again, and it's demoralizing.
Yep.
I know.
It's pretty sad.
And if anybody's watching this on YouTube, we are all CGI'd closer together.
Yeah, with masks on.
Yeah.
Somebody's really awesome at Photoshop.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Matt, let's just get into some shakers. We got a little flicking to get into as well.
Sure.
So we'll start the show now. That was a great intro. Thank you, Gary, for for lobbing that one at us. And let's find out.
Matt, what is on the dine-in menu?
Oh, wow.
Last weekend, we started hearing reports of me and my wife were hearing reports, along with the rest of the nation, about Florida and Texas pumping the brakes. And we looked at each other and we said, California is absolutely going to be next on this list. So we need to go out for dinner right now this weekend, because we're probably not going to be able to go out anytime soon. And unfortunately, we were right. It is all shut down. But before that happened, we had one of the all-time great meals that I'm going to tell you guys about real quick.
So you guys saw the doors closing, the Independence Day mothership, and you and your wife are Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith trying to just sneak in before those doors finally shut.
That's
and you
correct.
Guys can't eat out. And you guys made it.
We made it in. And we went to a restaurant that I've talked about on this show before called Redbird. You guys may recall a Chez Fond du Lac where I gave all of us menus and we all ordered our own courses.
That was good fun. That was a great Chez.
Very memorable.
One of my all-time favorite restaurants in L.A.
I remember
lately, it's been more like cliche Fond du Lac.
You know? Ooh. Whoa.
So –
copyright Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I'll address that later. So we went back to Redbird, and honestly, no hyperbole, it actually was the best meal I've ever had there before, which is really saying something because they have great food all the time. So we started with cocktails. I'll read you what we had.
Now, do you think it's objectively the best meal you've ever had there, or was it improved by a magnitude of 15% because we've all been deprived for so long?
I think that is part of it, but truth be told, I've gone out for quite a few meals in the interim.
I know.
Yeah,
so,
but knowing the doors are going to close. Yeah. Like, I think of the best steak I ever had, and it was when I was drunk. And I remember thinking, and like, I almost cried. This is so good.
Yeah.
And laying the water was awesome. And
I think what really impressed me about the meal is because we've been there so many times, we had three different things that we had never had before, and they were just so good. And I guess it had been a while since we'd been there. Maybe I couldn't compare it to my last great meal there. But it just – every course was even better than I'll ever be able to describe to you guys. So that's why I say that.
Well, then by all means, try.
I shall. First, the cocktails though. I got a drink called the Everlasting, which is rye.
Gary's already
– apricot brandy.
Whoa.
This is what is on the menu. 1757 Vermouth di Torino Extra Dry. Is just vermouth.
Di Torino.
And lemon. And my wife got a cocktail with gin. Here's another one. Lusta Oloroso Don Nuno Sherry.
Ben.
Creme de Pamplemousse, which we all know is grapefruit.
Grapefruit cream.
And lemon as well. So we ended up swapping cocktails because she liked mine better. And I'm just a good husband.
I did a wife swap right at the
I did a fucking wife swap right there in the restaurant.
Thank God he said tails.
So I ended up with the gin grapefruit cocktail.
You got that not because your wife liked yours better. She didn't like hers.
No, she did like hers.
You're going to tell me you had one cocktail?
Well, at that restaurant, I'm not going to – we only have so much time on this segment. We did bar hopping prior to going to the restaurant. But I'm only telling you guys about this particular meal.
Go on.
All right. So now we're going on to the main courses here, and I'll show you guys a picture.
Before we get into the main courses, speaking of these cocktails, so when you look at a cocktail menu – because Matt is no stranger to the cocktail menu, as Gary and I have mentioned before.
Matt's so accomplished with the cocktail menu that I go to restaurants and read the cocktail menu just to imagine what Matt would order.
Yeah.
Matt's a game I play. Not a stranger. He's the president of the Homeowners Association.
Right. Now, Matt, when you look at a cocktail menu, because usually cocktail menus are very vast. They have usually one cocktail for every kind of liquor.
Sure.
And like they have their sweeter drinks.
Let's say there's like 10 to 15 drinks on a cocktail menu.
What do you usually look for? And are you able to predict what they'll taste like just by reading the ingredients?
I guess a little bit. I don't really know what that particular brand of apricot brandy tastes like and what it's going to mix with, you know, a gin. But I can imagine that it will have like an apricot flavor to it, which I will be okay with.
Yeah. So what is the standard?
Sure. And you didn't have to go to school for that.
That's right. It's instinctual.
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
So when you're picking the cocktail, what is your method then? Because I have a method.
I mean, you definitely got to start with what type of alcohol is in it. That's probably the first thing that my eye goes to. And nothing against tequila cocktails. I've had some great ones. But most of the time, if I'm at dinner, I'm probably not going to be ordering tequila.
Right.
So if I see a drink that sounds really good, but then I find out it has tequila in it, I'm probably going to cross it out.
And it's not called a margarita or an Ida of any sort.
Sure.
It's like, there, they did it. Done.
Yeah.
You've created a drink.
I'm also, I know this is not the most manly thing to say, but I'm not a huge fan of scotch. I love whiskey, but a like scotch whiskey that really like, I don't even know if bitter is the right word, but it's like a very caskety very woodsy flavor that comes with casky. There you go. Not caskety. It's a lot darker.
Caskety.
And vampires.
Flavor. Oh. Oak. That oak taste. That's really what it is. That's in scotch. Again, I don't like it. A lot of these restaurants we go to, they do make a lot of scotch cocktails. I'm not a fan of those.
Right.
So – and that's just kind of the beginning of it. And then after so, that, just about, I don't know, whatever you feel.
There is also the component that I've seen you do not every time.
Shay's getting totally hijacked.
I'm not hijacked. No, I'm adding to it.
Not you, all of us.
That's a point.
He's telling us about dinner.
Matt also,
I like to open it up. It's for everybody to enjoy.
No, of course.
Last week it was get your own food segment. Now it's for everyone to enjoy.
Hey, I'm nothing if consistent, okay?
No, but Matt also oftentimes likes to ask the bartender or the waiter what they think about the cocktail menu.
I do ask them that, and that's a good point. Something else I usually ask is, how is it served? I want to know if it's straight or if it's in a giant glass of ice, because a lot of times the cocktails that sound like this will be like a delicious, I don't know, like rum fruit kind of cocktail, it's going to come in a giant glass of ice.
We all know Matt's not a fan of ice.
Not a big fan of the ice. That's right.
He's the George Costanza of ice.
I like
– there you go.
When I pick a cocktail from a cocktail menu, I like it to seem slightly complicated. I don't know why, but if it's too simple, it just doesn't seem to excite me as much. Mm-hmm. Although I prefer simple drinks if I'm just calling one out. Like,
sure.
Like I love just a whiskey or just straight rocks, or a martinis are always very good. Or the daiquiri, just a straight up lime daiquiri.
My mom and I always go to the smokehouse when she comes to town. And the first time I took her there, she ordered a Manhattan and she said, "Michael, over rocks. Tell him Manhattan over rocks." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And I said that, but the person wasn't, I don't know. Anyway. They served it in a martini glass.
There
you go. And so that's the only time that so I learned it once, and then we've been there like seven times since then. She comes up once a year. And every single time now, it's like I'm absolutely clear. And probably I didn't say it. Probably I was just like, "Yeah, whatever, Mom. I'm going to get you Manhattan. You'll like it." Who knows?
There you go. So the way, the smokehouse, one of the first restaurants to reopen briefly, and my wife and I were very much considering going and calling you to join us for this.
I would have 100% in a fucking second.
We wanted to go for the big like buffet all day brunching that we all talked about on the show.
It's so good.
Here's the thing: when they reopened under this COVID shit, they had was the menu, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
There's a place I'm planning on going this summer. That
you mean
always,
this winter?
No, this summer, actually.
I hope so.
That always has a buffet for a few of the meals, and they've already sent out an email saying the buffet is still there, but it will not be self-serve. It will be you order what you want off the buffet, and the staff members will go make your plate.
Whoa, interesting.
Don't like it.
Yeah, because I like controlling my portion.
That's the point of a buffet is you get to go be, an indulgent little whatever.
Yeah. You get to be a glutton for a little bit.
Because, come on, and when somebody comes back with that plate, you can't go, "I'm going to need two or three more of those quesadillas, please. I told you a lot of quesadillas, and three is not a lot in my world."
All right, well, Matt, I suppose now you had some food.
Yes, there was some food.
You ate something.
Sorry, Matt.
Yes, no, it's no problem at all. So the main reason that we went to this restaurant specifically, besides the whole thing, everything shutting down, but we chose this place particular was because they had a dish called chawamushi. All right? Okay. Chawamushi.
Chawamushi. Now, what kind of food is that, Kalen?
It's fun Asian to say. Food. It's fun to
You'd
say.
Be more specific? What part of Asia?
Japanese.
Very good. Very good.
Wow.
So a couple years ago for my wife's 40th birthday, we went up to Napa. And we went to this incredible restaurant, and one of the dishes they had there was this thing called chawamushi, which I had, my wife did not, and it was one of the best dishes ever. And you never see it anywhere because it's fucking random ass dish. But this place, Redbird, had it. Now, I'm going to show you guys a picture of it. It is the base of it is, if you can imagine.
Tell me the name again.
Chawamushi. Chawamushi. That's right.
That's what I thought.
Now, if you can picture. Like a miso soup, Like if you go to a sushi restaurant or something, you get miso soup. But rather than it being soup, it's like a flan or like a souffle. So it's – or like a custard. So it's like a miso custard and then it has lobster and fucking sesame oil and mushrooms and it arrived at our table like a goddamn work of art and it was fucking delicious. Next course was a herb-crusted halibut with corn and morel mushrooms.
So when your wife, so you get it. You were doing courses, and you were just splitting.
Split everything. Yeah, exactly.
So is it a prefix menu?
Nope.
Okay.
So what do you do?
And these are from your table, right? Not from the table next to you. Yes.
No, I did not take pictures of the table next to us.
Matt does do that.
And I can also tell that it's restaurant etiquette, so you can't use your flash.
Did not use the flash.
You shouldn't use
but
the flash.
I know. You shouldn't. But yeah. If the flash was on, see, what that looks like is a pepper crusted.
Sure.
I don't see what's the problem using a flash.
You're in a restaurant, dude. And
you're pointing it down. You're not pointing it at people's faces.
If I was in a restaurant,
it's on a white
and
place,
someone flashed
everywhere.
A picture with their phone immediately in my head, and I think I'm like 90% of most people.
Asshole.
Immediately in my head, I'd be like, yeah, what a fucking asshole.
I think of the chef. And if I see at the corner of my eye, people are taking pictures of the thing I made.
I think they're well,
no.
Okay.
As a compliment.
The chef's a different story.
Incorrect. Because the chef gets into that game for you to eat and enjoy that food, not to fucking flaunt it on Instagram.
But they want to remember it.
No, boom. They don't. They want you to remember it. They don't want all of your
followers
to remember it.
Yeah,
I'm sure they wouldn't mind if they're.
I'm not
saying food is being taken pictures and probably going on social media. Yeah. For
it's
other
a fine.
To
it's
look
a
at.
Fine line, though. I mean, it's
no because their creation is getting cold while you take that photo for the gram and for
it
your
takes
followers.
A second to take a photo. It's one flash.
That's true too.
The same amount of time that it took Matt to take his pictures, but he's okay.
First of all, it's not the same amount of time because when you hit everyone knows it when you hit a photo, it's a little longer.
Plus, that
asshole's got to go into portrait mode. I mean, the dish probably already waited a second for your waiter to get there. That chef doesn't want you doing that. He wants you to eat it.
Okay.
Matthew,
yes.
Did you stay for dessert?
Well, we had one more course before dessert.
Ooh, I love it.
Matt, right. when you eat
so that
out.
That wasn't your main?
No, I'm getting to the main right now.
When you eat those are appies.
Did we have an amuse bouche?
They have like little cheesy breads.
It's pronounced mushu gushu.
That's right. In Japan. In Japan, yes. That's how it's pronounced. Gary, I guess.
I hate this chair, by the way, Gary.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
Gary made Dawson use that chair today.
I didn't make him use that.
I was like, I don't care. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I see why now. I get it.
We should pull back the curtain and say there's a couple of chairs in this building that were put together incorrectly, and the footrests are about 6 inches higher than they should be, and it just cramps your legs if you use them. So
Chris has one. Actually, I can tell by that.
Well, it doesn't cramp Chris's legs.
I don't.
No, it doesn't.
It is upside down because you can tell because the screws are upside down. They dig into the soles of your shoes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not good.
Yeah, we should fix that.
No, yours is right side. This one isn't.
Anyway, so when I go out to eat with my lady, we always like to share everything too, and I'm sure you guys, Gary,
no,
Gary doesn't,
sure don't.
See, that's where it's kind of crazy because like I'll want to order something weird. Like for instance, I like duck, and Jen doesn't really like duck, so a lot of the times I will refrain from ordering duck even though I really want it, and she knows sometimes she'll go, you probably want to order something really weird. Wait, what was that noise?
It was a quack.
Oh. That, anyway.
That?
Hmm? Yeah. But instead, I decided.
Better.
But instead, I would order chicken.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to make the noise of a chicken. But I looked at the menu. I thought maybe steak would be better. But then I'm like, oh, red meat. It's going to be too good mix. And then I'm like looking, oh, there's a turkey salad.
gobble, thank you. Fuck that one up.
Yeah. So I would cater it to my orders to whatever we both can have, but sometimes I want something crazy.
Yeah, we're usually on the same page.
Joy and I are always on completely different pages, so I just don't even try to modify it.
Reminds me of that Steel Panther song, Asian Hooker.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, well, that one time I saw Panther on the menu.
It's
pretty wild.
Pretty good.
Okay, anyway, Matt,
let me get to my next course here. Now, they had a pork shank.
Right.
Now it was served with like collard greens.
No. Okay.
You're not getting me the hashtag.
Oh,
what are you doing there?
What are you doing, Matt?
How dare you, Matt?
That is a trap.
Not at all. Also some rice grits and black beans, and it was the most tender pork you've ever had. It fallen off the bone. But we'd obviously had a couple drinks at this point, and when this thing arrived at our table, it looks – and they're very good with the presentation at this restaurant. Mm. But this absolutely looks like a giant dick and balls just plopped on the plate. Dawson's not seeing it. I thought so. All right, that's not the reaction I was expecting.
That does. From that angle, yeah. Some big balls.
Just a fucking –
Yeah.
Do you see it?
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Kaylin, we'll let you look as well.
The dick part is very veiny.
Anyway, it was kind of hilarious to us. It was fucking delicious. And then for dessert.
It's kind of a delicate time, Matt. Do you have to call them black beans?
Oh, you guys are just killing me here. I'm trying to bring this presentation to life.
I like it.
The dessert was a chocolate souffle.
Ooh.
With like a.
Spell it. Spell it.
S-O-U-F-F-L-E. Comma,
C-H-O. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was just an incredible meal. And you're right. Maybe it was influenced because we knew it was all going to shut down. But I like to think it was just because all three dishes just really exceeded our expectations. And Lord knows when it opens back up, I will be right back there again. Until then, that's what's on the menu.
Woo! To be clear, I was asking not if it's because you knew it was going to shut down, but rather because it's been so long since you've – I know you've been out a few times, but since it's been normal. Because I thoroughly believe that the next steak I have, which will be the next like true dine-in meal out, will be the best steak I've ever had.
Yeah, for sure.
I could boil you one right in the back if
– Yeah, no. Look, it's
– Don't do that.
I've had steaks that I've made at home. I've done stuff, and it's good, but – The next time I'm able to go out to a white tablecloth, sit down restaurant, order a martini, and order a steak, and have it brought to me,
dude, this is the first time I heard that everything was closed for the weekend before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude.
When I heard it's 3 weeks, dude, my best friend from first grade is fucking coming next weekend, and we were gonna go to the goddamn smokehouse, and I still expected it to be open until
takeout.
I found out now that.
It may have outdoor seating.
You can't take out a house cut of prime rib.
Yeah, and you want to be in the dark, dingy place.
I'll cook my own ribeyes, but still, dude, that's – fuck.
I know.
Damn.
As I said.
Fuck you.
Not the best first half of the year.
It was definitely a memorable one, though.
Yeah, we're come from behind kind of guys.
Yeah.
We're the underdogs. We'll take it.
From Patriots in the Super Bowl. From Gary. All right. Well, great.
Like when you're down.
Yeah.
You fight harder. You figure it out. I know where your dirty head is at.
Not mine.
You dirty,
Gary.
Dirty bird.
Gary's looked at camera.
Dirty bird.
Well, great job, Matt. Thank you for that wonderful Shay. And I look forward to coming back with some more best food discussion, I want to talk about that bracket because, yes, the environment that you eat some of the foods in, like, I think it really – really alters what we think is the best food.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas steakhouse versus an In-N-Out burger, Kalen.
But we can't bring...
Okay.
This is complicated enough already. It can't be a corn dog when you're at the fair. Like, it's got to be just based on the food itself.
Could it be corn dog at Disneyland specifically? Because that corn dog cart is the best goddamn corn dog in the world.
It could, but if you're at Disneyland, it's a mistake to get the corn dog. You're better off to get the churro.
Oh, start your day with a corn dog.
Got to go with the clam chowder at Disneyland.
I would
in the bread
never,
bowl. It's pronounced
would,
red bowl.
I would
it's pronounced
never
clam
eat.
Chatter.
Chowder. Not a thing.
Chowder.
All right, well let's get Kalen's flay bean alay. Kalen's flicking the bean.
Flick it.
And we'll get out of here.
One thing. Sorry.
Yeah, where's the song, bro?
Brian's rig is at his house, and I used to plug into Brian's rig, but Brian's rig is no longer here.
Mm. I didn't hear him playing any drops today, though. We edit some things.
Not that.
So, Kalen, flicking the bean.
We edit nothing.
Let's go.
Your opinion's what we need.
Well, the movie is called Crawl.
Respect all women.
Came out this time last year. It's available now on Amazon to stream. It is 87 minutes long. It's directed by Alexander Aja, I believe is how you say it, who also directed Piranha 3D. It's a hell of a movie.
Yeah.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Ugh.
Also a hell of a movie.
Saw that in theaters.
And a movie called High Tension, which is a movie I saw many years ago, but it's a good kind of horror slash killer movie.
I saw The Hills Have Eyes in the theater with Jake and Jason. We were both I had to put my hoodie on.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and I felt like I need to take a shower afterwards.
He's not afraid to show you the gore.
No, no.
I have a Hills Have Eyes story that I can't tell.
What?
Oh, what a tease.
Is Laura Lee going to send a text? How did you tease that?
Yeah, Laura Lee took Gary to see The Hills Have Eyes, and she was mortified because it wasn't what she thought it was going to be.
She thought it was a Sound of Music sequel.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. It stars a girl named Kaya Scodelario. I'm sure that's not how you say her name.
Yeah.
And Barry Pepper. Who?
Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper's a strong name.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, as I was watching this movie, could not place what movie he was from, and it was bugging me so much. For those of you unfamiliar, Barry Pepper is the sniper in Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
It currently has an 83% with the critics and a 75% with the audience, which is strange because this, if you don't know, is a movie about killer alligators. It is a rather absurd looking movie. I had no interest in watching it whatsoever until Matt came in and said, you know what? We watched Crawl. You should give it a try. So I did. I did give it a try indeed. And it is surprisingly good.
Whoa.
In a where they make a movie about killer alligators, they set it in a setting that
slow down.
Hold on a second.
Wait. That's very unconventional.
This is a new thing. It's kind of like the film noir of today.
Sure.
Yeah. Avant-garde.
A lot of times, it's very hard to tell what's happening in a movie because it's not set anywhere.
Yeah. Where is it?
So I don't really know
how
to experience it. But that's part of the reason why I like it, too, was because this one was set in a setting.
Very risky movie. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
sure.
I knew that was coming the second
All right. Well, I mean, I'm on board already. I like to try new things.
It's far less confusing than most movies because of that fact.
Wow. A whole new element.
It is set in a setting that's surprisingly believable for killer alligators.
Yes.
You can actually kind of in a world believe that, you know, this is plausible, like that this would happen. But since you're not taking this movie too seriously, just from the poster to the trailer, from what you know about the movie, it is surprisingly good. It's very fun. The gore is just right. It's not over the top like Piranha was, where it's totally like that's the entire movie, just that kind of joke. But it's enough. There's definitely some gore in there, enough to where Chris would not be able to watch this movie. And if you want just kind of a fun watch, I would recommend it. It is flickable, and the audience has it spot on, 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Speaking of spot on and on the nose.
I am 0.2 away from the score. Oh, I wrote it down before you started. 7? Flickable, 7.3.
But points are lost because you spelled flickable wrong. You wrote fliceable.
I did write fliceable.
That will cost you. That will cost you.
I just didn't cross my cat.
Yeah. Now, Caitlin, we need to know, is it flickable, unflickable, or fliceable?
Dawson, you know how K's work? I didn't cross my K.
I'm
missing the K.
You know that old adage, dot every I, cross every K.
I still spelled the word wrong, but now it says flickable.
All right. Crawl, huh? Yeah.
Crawl.
Thank God it wasn't spelled with a K.
Okay, I know.
Oh, shit.
We have fun.
Holy crap.
We have fun.
Well, I was reading the wiki.
I'm going to go ahead and crack this third claw. Yeah.
Is claw spelled with a K?
Yeah, everything's with a K now. So,
I just didn't cross my K.
That was the only issue. He was so close. He just had a
oh my God.
All right.
We do better in person.
Yeah. I think so too. I was reading the wiki, and the star of the movie, because this all takes place in the setting that Caitlin said, and it's in a hurricane, and the star of the movie is an aspiring swimmer. In the first line, an aspiring swimmer.
I think that's the first shot of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that too on the nose? Does that
Very
bother you guys?
Much on the nose.
Yeah.
When I told Caitlin
about
this
movie. Oh, so I know
what
the setting is now?
You'd be pretty damn close.
Well, yeah.
I told Caitlin, much like one of my favorite horror movies, The Descent, which is an incredible
Great.
Movie.
That's
the
probably
first,
my favorite horror movie.
The first 10 or 15 minutes are a little tough to get through because it is so on the nose in terms of just trying to get the story moving. But once they're in the cave, or in the case of this movie, once they're in this house.
Setting.
Once they're in the setting. Right. Thank you. God, I can't believe I got that wrong.
Right.
Once they're in the setting, right. It's just a nonstop action movie.
So The Descent, so is that one of the underwater caverns with the vampire chick?
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, you
kind
of have something.
You have elements of it, right? It's not underwater.
You got enough of that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about as close as your spelling was to Flickable.
Kristen Stewart? That's Twilight.
No, you're thinking of.
But she was not in The Descent?
Nope.
No, because I saw.
No, you're thinking of that T.J. Miller movie that came out in January. Where Kristen Stewart was underwater. It's called Underwater.
That's a different movie.
Underwater, totally different.
See, we don't know.
Good. No, these are the things
we don't know. We don't know settings.
Like, I'll go home and be like, yeah, I think I saw that kind of thing.
Underwater.
So now, okay, I'll check out The Descent.
Yeah.
Thank
Yo,
you.
I'll loan it to you.
That's probably my favorite horror
Crawl's
movie
on demand
time.
Right now. Descent, I can loan you a DVD of it.
It's right, probably streaming somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, Crawl's on Amazon. Is that right?
Yeah.
I highly suggest it as well.
Nice.
I'll watch it, even though it stars an aspiring swimmer.
Flexible. It's fully flexible.
It's very flexible.
Hey, real fast. Any of you guys, Caitlin, I'll take you out of this because you're not old enough, but did any of you guys watch the NBC show that was prominent in the early 2000s called Las Vegas? It starred James Caan and Josh Duhamel.
Never watched it.
Aziz Ansari used to joke about it a lot.
Yeah, rightfully so, because that show is absolutely fucking absurd. But in the over the last weekend, they... E, the entertainment network, did an every episode ever marathon of that show that lasted from Thursday to the following Monday.
Jeez. Nonstop?
Nonstop.
Wow.
Why?
Yes,
I think they're running out of original programming as a result of the pandemic.
Ooh.
It is absurd and does not hold
up. Hollywood's still moving. They're still moving, buying properties right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting fucking ready.
Well, we're on
now. And I'll tell you what, hopefully fucking it's Hollywood that fucking says enough of this shit.
Well, Hollywood, we are filming every episode of The Water Cooler.
Yeah.
So get at me.
And we got a new movie in the works, too. So
we do.
Wait for that one.
Laxey Shack. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. One time I was – so when you say Laxey Shack, it reminds me of the time I pimped out my minivan in college, which I don't – wait, Garrett, why do you
– No one say a thing.
Okay, so
– Reminds me of the time I pimped out my minivan in college. The fact that
– Those are words I've never heard.
The fact that no one but me looked around is fucking confounding to me.
All right.
That's good.
So in college, I drove a Honda Odyssey.
Mm.
And it was pretty sweet.
That's a van, right?
It's a minivan, yes.
Jesus.
It's a good family minivan.
And that girlfriend broke up with you?
Yeah.
He picked it up from Jake at Cost.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so I remember taking out the captain's chairs in the back because I still lived with my mom in college. So
are you about to say that pimping out a minivan is taking out the back seats and putting a futon in and some fucking curtains?
No.
I don't know, Dawson. Only way to find out is to let him keep fucking talking.
So I remember I thought, all right, I got a pretty good job now. I'm a server at the Macaroni Grill. I can kind of
pimp out the minivan.
One day soon, melting pot, here I come.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm making some tip money. I should be able to spend it on treat myself.
Yeah.
And so I hit up the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Classic automotive accessory store.
Which is across the street from the Macaroni Grill. So, and I get a little rug. I get some... what else did I get? I think it was just the rug, really.
So that'd be from the bath section.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, but it actually looks like an actual rug. Like it wasn't a bathroom carpet. And it was just smaller. And I put that there. I went to Best Buy and I got a Westinghouse TV, but not a car TV, an actual TV.
Was this a flat screen TV or a TV TV?
It was flat screen.
Okay.
I got a flat screen. Thank you for letting me clarify. Yes, it was a flat screen. And I got the arm that were – it was – the TV, would be, when not in use, it would be flat along the ceiling, and then it would – the arm would swing down, and you would have a big TV, and you could watch from the back seats. And then I had a sound system put in. I had a PlayStation put in, and I really made that thing.
I've turned a corner here. Yeah.
It was. And
I think I'm
going to
get a minivan and have you pimp it out.
I'm gonna watch movies in here, and I'm gonna do whatever I want, and I don't have to live with my mom. Basically, well, you know, I just don't want to have to. I want to be my own man.
I work at the Macaroni Grill, and I'm moving into this van. Fuck
well, I
your
didn't
mom.
See that. That's the thing. I didn't necessarily move in, but I remember
full steam ahead, bro.
I was closing one night at the grill at Romano's, and I remember walking.
The grill.
What did you guys call it? Did you guys call it all three of those things?
No, I can still write my name upside down. Now, let me see. Yeah, and
wow, that was pretty good.
Why do you write your name good. Upside down?
Because you've never been to Macaroni Grill when the server
I didn't cross the K.
it's butcher paper over the table. And when the server comes up, they go, "Hey, my name is Kalen," and they write it upside down so that the people at the table can read it.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anyone say, "I don't give a fuck what your name is"?
No, I actually had the. You want okay? I'm going to slight tangent. I killed it at Macaroni Grill and at TGI Fridays, because I constantly would flirt with the guests, and I wouldn't even need to bust out my magic tricks. I would just be able to talk to them, and you know the table of all the older women. All right, ladies, I'm going to need to see some ID, and then
classic,
you know,
that's
stuff like that.
That's
you know,
a great move.
Yeah, just yeah. Kinda, and
no, it's good. They,
and I'd
they
write
love
some notes
it. They
on
love
the thing.
It. That's good.
I remember. In this was in a place called Rossmore in Seal Beach. Gary knows where that is. And so I remember I would serve a table, and it would be like the Real Housewives almost. And I remember talking to them, and I wrote my name. Hi, by the way, my name's Chris. And then one of the women pulls me. She grabs like the side of my shirt, because you wear those long white sleeve shirts. Pulls me to her, and she whispers into my ear, "Do I say it like Chris, or do I say it like?" Oh, Chris, and starts moaning my name in my ear.
Wow.
Wow. Macaroni turned into a rigatoni, if you know what I'm saying.
It went al dente in 2 seconds, bro.
With a side of Alfredo, if you please.
Ew. We're gonna put that scene in Laxy Shack.
Sure.
We're gonna find some way to recreate that. This is a scene in Laxy Shack.
Dente. I'm
dying. We
there are
fun.
A lot of sexual innuendo within Italian food. I have no idea. Anyway, back to my van. I remember I was closing.
That's what you said to her?
Yeah, I was closing, and I was it was me and some other girl who worked with me, and I remember my van was finally done. I'm gonna enjoy the rest of my life with this van. I'm in the middle of California. It's summer. It's already hot. I can go to the beach and watch a movie with the doors open and just hear the sound of the waves while I'm watching movies. And I actually bought Castaway to do that. And then so I bring her over to the van. She's because I'm walking her car. I'm like, oh, you want to check out what I did in my van first. And I walk her over to my van. I think her name was Dana, and I walk her.
Sure,
it's been a while since I haven't even thought of her, but I walk her to my van, and I show her everything. She sees the rug on the floor, the TV, the folds down, the everything's just pimped out, customized out.
The pool of blood in the corner.
Yeah, she sticks her head in, and she just looks at me and goes, "Do you live here?"
Wow.
And everything I looked at, like, I really wasted my money.
Oh,
like,
no.
All this time and all this work. Because it wasn't cheap. I really took a risk there. And then I realized that it was running off my car battery. So I could only get through the first 15 minutes of Castaway before my car died.
Right.
Because it would run – unless you had to keep the car running. And so me and Jake would have to go to like a place where you could plug the van in order to finish the movie. I never finished Castaway. I actually watched Castaway for the first time about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that, and then that was the story of my van. And then Jake hooked up his Xbox to it when we were driving to Vegas one time, and I gave him the Red Ring of Death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Caitlin, no.
I don't think you gave that to him. I think Microsoft gave that to all of us.
Oh, okay. Well, it definitely started when he plugged it in my van.
Yeah.
Because I don't think everything, the electric work was really that great anyway. But that was me pimping out my college van. All right, I think that'll do it for Water Cooler. We really went through a lot there.
Woo.
So
we did it all.
We'll get our plugs in, and then I have an announcement to make. So,
ooh.
So we'll start over to my left, Kaylin. Where can we go for you?
Oh, don't worry about me.
All right.
Wow. These yeah. plugs are going to be over real quick.
I would say so. Gary
said he has an announcement.
That's cool. True.
Gary, where can we go for you?
I have two plugs. One is yeah. Days of Thunder
Take
and
three.
Their YouTube channel, youtube.com/Days of Thunder. And the other is I will plug Chris's plug.
Okay. That's right.
Nice. You're just plugging his plug. That was it?
I'm plugging his announcement.
Okay,
plugging
cool.
my announcement.
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Fondelier. Also, I have a new Sword and Scale episode out, but it's behind the paywall. So if you want to join Sword and Scale Plus.
Ooh, how do we do that?
I think it's swordandscale.com/plus. I think it's like $5 a month. And then if you sign up for it, then you would have access to several episodes that I wrote because there's quite a few that are behind the paywall. So anyway, Sword and Scale.
Sword and Scale, and Matt loves his true crime. And if you want any of his episodes, 139, 144, 153, 161, and 162. All right. Dawson, where could go for you?
Check out Matt's Sword and Scale episodes.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to fucking listen to one, and I.
You
know how inundated we are with audio.
I've said
there's
many
no
times,
listening to fucking anything, and I've wanted to.
We all have a long history of not supporting each other's projects.
Yeah, we don't want to break that.
That's right.
First of all, shout out to Chris Loxamana, who owes me a beer because it is on tape. We both said anyways at the same time. I hit you first and said beer. You owe me a beer.
That is incorrect. I say anyway. I never say anyways.
I said anyway. I wrote down anyway.
Now we're going to have to check the
tape. Is it recorded?
I didn't. Yeah, it's recorded.
You didn't cross your K. It doesn't count. Yeah.
So anyway, you owe me a beer.
All right, deal.
Yeah, who spells anyway with an I?
And not dotted.
I love this bit. Dawson just spells everything wrong.
Number two.
And doesn't know how letters work. Number two,
Chris Loxamana has a very important announcement. Take heed. And then he might owe you a beer, too.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot of hype and pressure on this amount. I really didn't imagine it would be that. So for my plug/announcement, it is for this show, The Water Cooler.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's us. He's talking about
first
us.
Off, I
had
really,
no idea.
Yeah, I really appreciate everybody listening, and we've moved to two shows a week, and it's just been a lot of fun. We've been doing it from home. Now we're back in studio, and we're having a good time, and we really want to take it up to a notch to the next level. So We're going to be releasing two midweek episodes. What we've been doing during the quarantines, we've been releasing an episode. It would come out Thursdays, and then one would come out basically Saturday because we record Friday and Wednesdays. Now we're going to skip this Friday's recording. We're going to go to two midweek episodes. We'll start recording on Monday, and we'll do one on Wednesday. Jeff Cesario is going to join us on Monday. You know,
nice.
From the Corolla Show, Chet Waterhouse, and we're going to be on his show too. So we're going to be doing
synergy, baby.
Some synergy, yes. And then also the second show of the week is going to be through Patreon. Now, this is a service that if you're a fan of the show and you want bonus content, extra content, we're happy to do it, and it'll be very cheap. I think we're talking about like $5 a month or something like that. I mean, we haven't really figured out the exact price yet, but we'll make sure it's very affordable.
I say $5.
We'll figure it out, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of different stuff. I mean, if you are familiar with Patreon, there'll be a base level for just the episodes. Then if you want more, if you want us to do something special, there's different options for that, but it will be very affordable, and we will be extremely consistent with it. So,
yeah.
You know, there's been weeks where we've missed because people are traveling. We're not going to be doing that. This is going to be every week. It's going to be consistent. You may not always get all five of us. We have lives. You know, Chris sometimes is traveling to Alaska to do whatever with Adam, but you guys will get fresh content, and we're very excited about it, and we're going to make sure it's good.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, you'll also have five dudes uploading content.
That's true.
Yeah. Look, so what we're saying is we're happy. We want to do this more often. We love doing the two episodes during quarantine when we had all that time. Now we're back at work. We don't necessarily have all that much time, but we want to make it worth everyone's while. So we'll do it behind. We'll do it through Patreon, and we just. I guess this is me just announcing that and just saying thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. We love doing it. We will continue doing it, and we will continue just being our silly selves.
Can I add on to that?
Yeah, please.
Just real fast. Also, we, as excited as we are, this is very new to us. We don't all have a lot of experience with Patreon. So if there's something that you would like to see come to that and you have suggestions, tweet us at Dos Angeles and we're open to suggestions. Yes. We are. I'm not saying we're going to take every suggestion, but if you have one, we're open.
Yeah. We'll
listen.
For sure.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We're excited to keep the two-show week thing going and maybe more, question mark.
Probably more.
That'll do it for Water Cooler. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We will see you next week. We love you. Goodbye.